Welcome back to the Deep Dive. To all of you tuning in, our fellow learners, I am so glad you're here today because we have a lot to cover.
Yeah, we really do. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So our mission today is to cut through the absolute avalanche of noise surrounding this four-week-old U.S.-Iran conflict. We are pulling from three major global news broadcasts to connect the dots between the military escalations, the diplomatic standoffs, and honestly, the massive economic shockwaves that are just hitting the globe right now.
Right. And it is a lot of information coming at us very fast.
It is. And just a quick but very important disclaimer up front. We're going to be looking at some highly politically charged statements today from U.S., Israeli, Iranian, and European leaders.
Yeah.
I want to make it crystal clear that we are entirely impartial here. We are not taking sides. We aren't endorsing any viewpoints.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We are simply here to dissect the raw facts, the claims, and the realities on the ground as they were reported in the source material. Nothing more. But to give you a teaser of just how massive this web is, we are going to look at how a missile strike in the Middle East is somehow inexplicably leading to ICE agents checking your ID at a local American airport.
Which just sounds wild when you say it out loud.
It sounds like a movie plot, but it is real life.
Oh.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand the global fallout, we have to start with the physical reality on the ground.
Right.
Right? And that battlefield has just radically expanded in scope.
It has. It's a completely multi-front kinetic war right now. You look at the map and it's just, well, it's everywhere. You've got Iranian missiles raining down on Israel.
Right.
And that's caused over 100 injuries in the south alone. Plus, they're seeing recent strikes up in the north causing minor shrapnel injuries.
And Israel's hitting back hard, too.
Absolutely. Israeli strikes are pounding a Hezbollah stronghold in Beirut. They actually captured two group members and killed Aquad's force commander there. But the human cost is, I mean, it's staggering. Over 1,000 dead and 1 million people displaced in Lebanon.
1 million people. That is just, it's hard to even process that number.
It really is. And the strikes aren't isolated there. The U.S. carried out an airstrike in western Iraq that killed 7 fighters from the Popular Mobilization Forces, the Hashd al-Shaabi, and wounded 13 others during a commander meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. And meanwhile, over in Tehran, search and rescue teams are literally pulling survivors from dense rubble right now.
Right. But amidst all of that sheer destruction, there was one detail in the reports that completely stopped me in my tracks.
The Diego Garcia strike.
Yes. The strike on the Diego Garcia base. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, that base is an island in the Indian Ocean. It is over 2,000 miles away from Iranian territory.
It's a massive distance.
It is. It's like finding out your neighbor's harmless little hobby drone can actually fly 3 towns over and look in your windows. It changes everything. But I have to push back on this.
Sure.
If Iran has had this kind of range capability all along, why reveal the lie now? Why strike a target so far away and just invite a much harsher response?
What's fascinating here is the tactical reality of the situation. You have to look at the numbers. The IDF claims they have already taken out about 70% of Iran's launchers.
70%. So they are heavily depleted.
Exactly. But they still have over 150 launchers remaining. So Iran is now engaging in very strict symmetrical retaliation.
Meaning what exactly? Like a tit for tat kind of thing?
Precisely. Their gas fields get hit, so they strike Qatar's gas fields. Their nuclear sites get hit, they respond by aiming at nuclear sites. They're making every remaining missile count. And revealing this 2,000-mile range isn't just about Diego Garcia.
Oh, right. Because of what else sits inside a 2,000-mile radius?
Exactly. It completely shatters the previous security paradigm because major European capitals, Madrid, Berlin, Paris, are suddenly directly within striking distance of those remaining 150 launchers.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the sudden realization that European capitals are in range leads straight into this massive diplomatic rift between allies.
It's a real tug of war right now.
It really is. The sources show incredible frustration coming from U.S. and Israeli officials. The Israeli UN ambassador essentially said they are dismantling a 47-year-old war machine that started back in 1979.
Right.
And he claims they're doing the dirty work for the entire world while Europe just, well, sits back and watches.
And you really see that tension echoed in the NATO response. The NATO Secretary General admitted that, yes, European allies support the effort, but they are still only in the quote-unquote planning phase of actually sending warships.
The planning phase. While missiles with a 2,000-mile range are active.
Right. And it highlights this huge psychological divide. The U.S. and Israel view their campaign as a decisive action against an existential, even nuclear nightmare.
Yep.
But they look at European leaders and perceive them as, well, cowardly, hiding behind dialogue and ignoring the new reality that their own cities are now in the crosshairs.
It's a perfect illustration of how fragile global alliances actually are, isn't it? Like, for you listening, treaties and shared values look incredibly solid on paper.
Oh, absolutely.
But when the missiles actually start flying and the heavy lifting is required, the reality of collective defense gets so complicated.
It gets very messy very fast. And while European allies are busy debating military support, that hesitation is causing a catastrophic economic crisis in the world's most critical maritime artery.
The Strait of Hormuz.
Yes.
The numbers here from the sources are just staggering. The strait handles 25% of global seaborne oil.
Mm.
Normally you have about 138 vessels passing through there every single day.
Carrying around 20 million barrels of oil.
Right. And now, it has dropped to just 5 or 6 vessels a day, 5 or 6, carrying a mere 3.5 million barrels.
The drop-off is unprecedented, and it led to a massive ultimatum. President Trump issued a 48-hour ultimatum to obliterate Iran's largest power plants if the strait wasn't open.
Though he did recently postpone that for 5 working days to let diplomacy play out, right?
Yes.
But wait, I spotted a contradiction in the reports here.
Oh.
Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Raqqi, says the transit route is actually open to anyone except the U.S. and its direct allies. So if Iran says it's open, who is actually closing it?
Ah, well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not a physical naval blockade stopping those ships. It's capitalism.
Capitalism is stopping the oil.
Think about it. Because 20 ships have already been attacked in that area, maritime insurance companies are absolutely terrified.
Got it. Of course, the insurers don't want to pay for a sunken oil tanker.
Exactly. War risk premiums have absolutely skyrocketed. We are talking 25 times their normal rate.
25 times? That's insane.
It is. And this economic proxy war is literally starting Asia's energy lifeline. Japan, for example, relies on the strait for 95% of its crude oil and 6% of its LNG.
95% of their crude oil comes through that one strait.
Yeah. And India depends on it for 90% of its LNG and 30% of its crude.
Yeah.
China receives 40% of its crude and 28.4% of its LNG through that narrow passage. So when those ships stop, Asia's economy grinds to a halt.
So what does this all mean? How does a blocked strait in the Middle East affect everyday life? That brings us to the domestic domino effect, because these global shockwaves are causing surreal administrative changes right inside the United States.
Right, the situation at the airports.
Exactly. We are entering the 5th week of a partial government shutdown in the U.S. And because of that, the president has ordered ICE agents to deploy to American airports.
It seems so disconnected until you look at the logistics. Former ICE director Tom Homan is running this operation. The ICE agents are going in to handle basic security tasks.
Like what exactly?
Things like monitoring the exit lanes or checking IDs before people even get to the screening areas.
Oh, I see. So they are taking the manual labor off the TSA's plate.
Exactly. It frees up the highly trained TSA officers to focus exclusively on running the actual security screening machines, trying to alleviate what travelers are currently calling a flightmare.
A slightmare. I love that term. But it's just amazing to think about the butterfly effect here. I mean, think about how deeply interconnected modern life is for all of us.
It really is a web.
A decades-old ideological conflict in the Middle East, combined with a domestic budget freeze in Washington, literally changes the uniform of the person checking your driver's license at your local airport tomorrow morning. It's wild.
It is. And this raises an important question, I think.
What's that?
Well, given that the Strait of Hormuz is essentially being choked off right now, not by a wall of battleships, but by insurance actuaries raising premiums 25-fold.
Right.
Will the outcomes of future global conflicts be decided less by military generals and more by corporate risk assessment algorithms?
Man, that is a heavy thought to end on. Actuaries winning wars. That's so true. Well, that wraps up our journey today. From the shocking 2,000-mile reach of ballistic missiles to the paralysis of global oil networks, all the way down to ICE agents standing at domestic baggage claims.
It's been a lot to cover.
It really has. Thank you so much for joining us on this complex intellectual journey. Keep asking those tough questions, keep looking for the hidden connections, and we will be back next time with another deep dive into the information that shapes your world. See you then.